Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
All right, then. So if you've watched the previous segment, you'll have understood that there's a lot of Islamic takeover going on in plenty of towns and cities around England. We've got ethnic enclaves, whereas in the West, we are doing a very poor job, especially in Anglo countries like England, Australia, Canada, of defending our own national religion, what used to be the bedrock of our and foundations of our morality around here, that being Christianity. Both kinds, any kind of sect you want to talk about, whether Protestant or Catholic, all of them seem to have been subject to complete capture by woke ideology, and there's very little that is being done to push back against this, and in many cases, a lot of churches are embracing it. Mm-hmm. As such, I thought I would recommend that you all watch this recent Comics Corner that Connor and I did on Identity Crisis and Cry for Justice, because just to be a bit mimetic here, sadly, the church is itself having a bit of an identity crisis, because if you read through the Bible, and Connor has read me a few passages in the process of doing things like Kingdom Come that he did, it's not particularly progressive. Mm-hmm. It's very self-sacrificial. It promotes a lot of good virtues, but it's not very progressive. Mm-hmm. A lot of the time, what they're talking about is anti-degeneracy, which is not what the current churches are promoting a lot of the time.
I think,
sadly,
it's also worth clarifying that neither of us are actually Christians ourselves, and I think that
I'm getting there.
Don't say that. You're gonna get them to egg you on now.
But I'm honestly getting there.
But the point here is that even from my perspective, where I don't identify as Christian, although I have been baptized, is that you want people to be able to believe what they want to believe, unmolested by external forces that don't have your best interests at heart. Like, I care about this because I think that people should be able to practice their religion in whatever way they want, as long as it's not actively causing harm to other people, which, you know, Christianity is certainly not doing that.
Yeah, once again, I think Christianity has been important for the West because for a long time, for over 1,000 years, it formed the bedrock of a morality over here. And it did produce some very good results. We had a lot of good things off the back of people respecting each other, which we certainly don't have right now. And it did enforce certain moral laws about how you should behave, how you should treat other people, how you should conduct yourself sexually and in other such areas of life, that did encourage people to behave themselves a little bit better. But as Connor covered in this recent segment that we did, the church has been completely subverted in many areas and is actively promoting degenerate behavior, promoting hedonistic behavior that really just leads to people being miserable. It's indulging in pleasures, only momentary pleasures, at the expense of long-term fulfillment and just leading a good life in general. You know, if throughout your 20s, you can indulge in a lot of bad behavior, but you won't always be in your 20s. You're going to live longer than that. You're going to live to regret a lot of things that you've done in your life. And therefore, perhaps you should focus on building virtues that can take you into the golden years of your life and allow you to lead a good life. For instance, in this segment, he talked about that a lot of churches being subverted, virtue signaling to place progressive causes. As you mentioned, God has they, them pronouns now, according to the Church of England, despite the fact that the Bible, if I remember correctly, only ever refers to God as him, mm-hmm, or he in big capital letters, so that you know it's very important that we are talking about God, who is a man. man was created in the image of God, after all, in the Bible, mm-hmm. and I believe woman was taken from Adam's rib. So
And woman ruined it all by eating the apple.
As always, they tried to women overreaching as always, and we've also
I'm sorry.
We've also got the Catholic Church creating imagery of black Jesus and Mary, trying to be more accurate to the demographics of the Middle East of the time, which is actually not accurate whatsoever.
Sub-Saharan Africa, now Middle East. I mean, that geography makes sense.
Everyone black. We was kangs. We was priests. And
we was the son of God.
I mean, once again, you hope as conservatives, a lot of the time conservative talking points ends up defending institutions, and you hope that there are some institutions left worth defending that are untainted. But the sad fact of the matter is there is no point in defending institutions that actively hate you and accept and embrace ideologies that are going against the best interests and heritage of the West, as far as I'm concerned. These places need purging, and we'll get on to a particularly bad example at the end of an institution that really does seem to need purging and might have caused some bad things in the past. But first, we've got examples of Justin Welby, who's been rejected as the leader of the Anglicans by conservative Anglicans over same-sex blessing. So this was him saying that he would be happy to bless same-sex couples, including marriage. And a lot of people, archbishops representing 10 of the 42 provinces in the Anglican Communion, rejected that. I think Connor did cover a little bit of this in his segment, but I just wanted to highlight something that I found amusing about it. So they all signed a statement saying they no longer consider Mr. Welby the leader of the Global Communion. As far as I'm aware regarding how this works, what happens is they've got everybody's considered an equal in these leaders, but Justin Welby was considered first among equals, mm-hmm. is how it's described here. So the 10 archbishops, plus two from breakaway conservative provinces in the US and Brazil, are opposed to the blessing or marrying of gay couples. They make up part of the membership of a group called the Global South Fellowship of Anglican Churches, which claims to represent 75% of Anglicans around the world, particularly across Asia and Africa. The GSFA's chair, Archbishop Justin Baddie of South Sudan, along with the archbishops of Chile, the Indian Ocean, Congo, Myanmar, Bangladesh, Uganda, Sudan, Alexandria, and Melanesia. So what's happened is the diversity has all ganged up against Justin Welby here. somewhat not what I was expecting that he was hoping would happen. You know, the church is all inclusive. We're all accepting of diversity. We need a diverse Britain so that we can do this, that, and this, and that, and this, and that. And all of the diversity go, actually, that's immoral. That's not in the Bible. I don't care what your opinions at home are about the idea of gay marriage and gay relationships in general. The fact of the matter is that the Church of England, being a Christian organization that does not support such things in the Bible, for instance, should not be supporting such things just as a matter of sticking to its texts. Mm-hmm. Sticking to its foundational texts, they probably shouldn't be supporting gay marriage, whether or not you, on a personal level at home, support it or not.
I think that the reconciliation that could be done here is that just don't force Christians to bless these marriages. People can get married if they want.
And you can get a government
certificate. I don't really want to interfere. Yeah. But don't make people who don't believe in it, don't force them to do it. It doesn't seem right to me.
Although I think Connor mentioned in the segment before as well, that apparently Welby was strong-armed by MPs into supporting this and saying that he was giving his blessing to them. So that's very interesting as
I'm
well,
not surprised.
I mean, the church, sadly, just another branch of the government at this point. We've also
We don't actually have a separation of church and state.
No, we don't.
In the UK.
No, we don't. But you would hope that it would be the church giving moral guidance to the government rather than the government strong-arming them into doing other things. This is an image I found from Clown World TM on Twitter in Sydney, Australia. Rainbow Christians together with the intersectional gay pride flag, the racial pride flag, which has all of the colours. We've created all new colours for the rainbow. They may not exist in the rainbow, but white is there apparently now, as is black and brown. There's the circle, which I think represents intersex in the flank, because, you know,
I've given up trying to understand it now.
Who knows? Who knows? And we've got queer faces of faith.
I did notice that, yeah.
Which
nice dehumanizing language there. These aren't people, they are just faces.
They're just queer faces of faith. And this man doing what appears to be an incredibly stereotypical and fey, oh, hello there, pose, with this priest standing on his rainbow-painted steps. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think this is representative of classical Christian beliefs.
I don't think you're going out on too much of a limb there, are you?
No, and somebody's highlighted in the thread there an article from last year. Former Archbishop of Canterbury states, becoming transgender is a sacred journey. Well, it certainly is part of the sacred secular religion that we all have to prostrate ourselves to now. We have to respect two things in the modern era, which is genderqueer rights and then also Islamic rights. Those are the two things that bolster the national religion. The fact that the two of them don't really mix well together is something that you've just got to ignore. Please ignore the man behind the curtain. He's not there. He's not pulling the levers. No, that's just John. You know, it's not doing great. And some guy posted a video of himself confronting these people. Let's just play this video, because I'm sure this woman is perfectly lovely. She seems very pleasant on a personal level. But there is just not a lot of... There's not a lot going on up here.
I'm just taking a video. Is that all right? Are you... Is this Christian? And what are you all doing here?
Yeah, we're painting the rainbow on the steps.
Is that a church?
Yes, it is a church.
What kind of a church?
It's a uniting church.
And you're doing this?
Of course we are.
Is God for this?
Absolutely. God is for love, for welcome, for hospitality. God is very positive.
God is for...
We feel that.
Is God for same-sex marriage?
Absolutely. God is for love.
Where's that in the Bible? Oh, you don't know?
But I do know that it says God is love.
God is love? Of course he is.
Right.
But he's holy too. You believe God is holy? You believe he's got commands? And do you believe we should obey them? Do you believe we should obey them? Because Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah, but love is not on the expense of truth, is it?
I feel a little bit bad for her. I know she's got an opinion I disagree with, but yeah, she doesn't seem like
seem like an awful person, but at the same time, he's asking very, very simple questions that she is just completely dodging around. She's just going, oh, God means love. Christianity means love. Not unconditional love. And the whole point is, yeah, God loves you unconditionally, but he will send you to hell if you don't obey him. That's one of the things that's with that. And he'll do it because he loves you and because you've let him down.
There's also the fact that love without conditions means that love is worthless, because you love without standard. I mean,
exactly.
I'm pretty sure that's a quote from Ayn Rand of all people. But
no, it's true.
It is true.
I don't agree with everything Rand said, but that's a very perceptive point that she made there. And just this one will really annoy you, I think. I know that you felt a little bit bad for that last one, but I know that your last segment, where we were talking about Islam, got you on a bit of a roll.
Yes.
As it always does. And this one is going to be extra angry for you, because this is an Irish church, a Catholic church. Now, we know that the Irish Catholics have often been quite...
They're a contentious people, aren't they?
Extreme in how devout they are.
Yeah.
And yet this man seems to think it's all right to allow Islamic prayer in a Catholic church. And, and people weren't particularly happy about this. So let's play this clip.
Freedom of speech here.
The first reading, that everybody who goes into acts with integrity and justice is welcomed on the mountain of the Lord. That's the first reading you see.
What about test in the spirit? Those who deny that the life, death and resurrection of Jesus.
Worshipper in our church, how dare you?
How dare you? You're a heretic. You're a heretic. You're a heretic. You're a heretic. We're Catholics.
I like the guy at the end who just went, we're Catholics.
Playing it over the speakers. Yeah, that's an imam over in one of the pulpits.
It's a very dissonant thing, isn't it?
Yeah. So what we're doing there, what that particular church in Ireland is doing there, is just opening the gates to the barbarians, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned. And that clip, when I found it, it was on Twitter. If we go back to the links, please, John, so we can see them on screen. That's where I found it. It was posted recently by this person, but I found an article relating to it. It's actually an incident from 3 years ago. And you won't believe what happened is the priest tried to turn himself into a victim in this situation. If we go to the next article from the Irish Mirror, which I presume is just what you see when you're looking at a glass of Guinness. it says here, he
poor
says,
Irish.
A priest has revealed that the abuse he received from bigoted protesters last weekend outside his church was only a drop in the ocean compared to the online vitriol he suffered. You let imams into an Irish Catholic church Ireland.
I know it's a meme phrase, but you had one job.
You literally had one job.
You're meant to uphold the faith, not...
not destroy it.
I didn't even mean to paraphrase Star Wars, but there we go.
It's just inevitable at this point, isn't it? Revenge of the Sith always rears its ugly head one way or another. I mean, what I was subjected to online by crowds in the called Church Militant, an alleged US right-wing group, who all spoke in incredibly thick accents, Irish accents, and showed up at your Irish Catholic church, so I doubt it. Oh, wait, no, this was online, sorry. And people roaring down the line at me on the phone. I assume it's the church phone number. I've also got messages like traitor sent to me in the post in big red writing. So they almost got me at Easter time, but in hindsight, they probably just toughened me up. Oh, great. Oh, great. So this has strengthened his resolve. Friar Farragher said the group of about 12 people who were not from... this is an Irish name, so I apologise. Ballyhornis or Comayo also carried a banner reading, "No Sharia in Ireland into church grounds." I wonder why they would say such a thing. The popular priest, not so popular anymore, I'd imagine, decided to broadcast his mass on local radio last April, and two Muslim men contacted him and suggesting there should be a joint act of solidarity. This is not solidarity, you fool. This is infiltration. I mean, how somebody can be so naive? Like, just going like, oh, we can all get along, can't we? No! Some people don't want to get along. Some people actively make it their mission not to get along with us. And you can't see that, you idiot.
No mention in this collaboration of him going to a mosque and giving, you know, a Catholic
prayer or something. Yeah. No, I don't imagine that would happen. And this all happened during COVID-19, and he said they recited Islamic call to prayer and prayed that God's mercy would help those suffering from COVID-19. What they don't realise, referring to the protesters here, is that a lot of people have an awful lot more in common with us than they realise. Okay, maybe this is an amazing statement now. Maybe they worship God with a different name. An entirely different God. But in terms of values and living good moral lives, there are big similarities.
Are you sure?
I suppose certain elements of the Catholic Church and certain Muslim practices do have some overlap, but they're not ones that we want to
encourage.
They're
very in touch with their young believers, aren't they?
Oh, yes, sadly. But yeah, I'm hitting X to doubt there. I'm not surprised that the Catholics are doing this, though, because it seems from a thread that I saw recently referring to a particular book called In the Closet of the Vatican, which I've ordered and I'm very interested to read, they've been completely subverted for a long time. If we go to the next one, I won't read through all of this because it's a massive, massive mega thread. But he goes, this person, Final Boss, talks about this book and all of the information held in it, where he says, how bad is it for Catholics? How corrupt and gay is the institution? In a very literal sense. Read In the Closet of the Vatican to learn about an organization that serves its internal gay hierarchy and leaves its parishioners to suffer the consequences of bad institutional behavior. As a Catholic, it hurts to read. And this book was written by somebody who is very pro-gay and is very pro all of the current things.
He's a professional gay, you say?
Yes, he's he's writing at it from the perspective of somebody going like, oh, isn't it so good that we've got all of this inclusivity in the church? But what it actually talks about was the fact that there is a hierarchy, as it mentions within there, of people within the Vatican who explicitly promote people who are gay and have sex orgies in there, to the point where in the 1980s, apparently, there was a massive spread of AIDS throughout the entire Vatican. It's not... It's
I didn't know about that.
It's absolutely ridiculous. One insider estimated the Vatican is 80% gay. I mean, I know.
I'm
I know.
Laughing, but it's...
We shouldn't be surprised. They are Italian. So that's one factor to take into it. But apparently this happens a lot across Catholic churches across the world. There's one section of the book that goes into detail about Spanish Catholics. Apparently it's the same with the priesthood over there. Very, very strange. And even Pope Benedict had a posthumous book released by his assistant that was written in German recently in the past month or so that confirmed the same information, went over the same thing. He basically said there is a gay cabal within the Vatican that controls things and makes it so that people with more devout beliefs, people who want the Catholic Church to kind of return more to its tradition, very difficult for those people and excludes them and kicks them out, essentially.
I think that this in part might be caused by the fact they're not allowed to marry women.
Possibly. Possibly.
I think I think that there's a certain selection pressure whereby people who aren't interested in marrying women.
Yeah, the book that I was referring to, the Pope Benedict one, was, like I say, written by his an Archbishop, George Ganswein. Excuse me, and it's called Nothing But the Truth, My Life Beside Pope Benedict the 16th. And I would be able to read that if only it wasn't written in German and not translated yet. But when it is translated to English, I'll be very interested to take a look. And John highlighted this tweet, a recent one on February the 20th from Pope Francis, just confirming this kind of attitude is prevalent all across Western churches. Social justice demands that we fight against the causes of poverty, inequality, and the lack of labour, land, and lodging. This is literally just repeating that Jesus was a communist. Mm-hmm. This is Jesus is a communist rhetoric here, which, if you may not have noticed, comes from atheists. And not just atheists, anti-theists, people who actively hate the West and its traditions and cultures. So maybe, as the Pope, you shouldn't be repeating such things against those who deny social and labour rights and against the culture that leads to taking away the dignity of others. Shut up! Shut up! Get out the church! You're not supposed to be in the church, Pope Francis, because you're not Catholic. Not when you're spouting nonsense like that. I'm not even... Like I said, I'm on my way, but I'm not devout or anything like that. I'm not a Catholic. But what is that?
I mean, you know the phrase, is the Pope a Catholic? As if to say, well, that's obvious, isn't it? I mean, that's actually a genuine question
at this point. But yeah, that's all I've got for that one. I just wanted this a nice white pill to end the weekend that the church has fallen.
If you appreciated that segment from the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, you can go to lotuseaters.com to get access to all the premium content that's on the site, such as the Symposium series, this episode on patriotism. If you want to find out what else is being put out, you can follow on Getter at lotuseaters_com on Getter. Thank you and goodbye.